It seems every generation's great revolutionaries suffer from unfair imprisonment. Whose account was that tweeted from yesterday? It's not one of the young protesters in Iran who faced the threat of execution. It's not one of the nurses striking for better working conditions today in New York. It's Andrew Tate, a manfluencer who sits in prison in Bucharest, Romania, accused of rape and human trafficking. Millions of people, mostly men, follow Tate for his brand of bullish optimism, unrepentant, even grotesque misogyny, and now it seems we can add self-pity to the mix. This man, who's had an outsized impact on the culture, is now facing criminal charges, and today, on Today Explained, we will examine who he is and what he tells us about who we are. A heads up, Andrew Tate says some terrible things about women, and we will use a small amount of that tape in this episode. If that's not for you, we'll see you back here tomorrow.
Support for Today Explained comes from BetterHelp. We'd all like to find an extra hour every day for the things that really matter. Therapy might be able to help you suss out what is most important and prioritize it. And BetterHelp can make the entire process convenient and painless. You can fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist in practically no time at all. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. You can visit betterhelp.com/explained today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/explained.
Wow, that guy means business.
Just an amazing player.
No, not him. The sports photographer behind him.
What?
He has a business bank account with QuickBooks Money where he earns 5% annual percentage yield. So he's scoring big on and off the field. You might even say he's the MVB.
MVB?
The most valuable business.
Making your money work harder. That's how you business differently. Intuit QuickBooks. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
It's Today Explained. I'm Noel King. Rebecca Jennings covers internet culture at Vox, and last summer she wrote a piece titled, "You Can Ignore Andrew Tate." Her argument went thusly. Do you have children who know who Andrew Tate is? Talk to them. Are you an officer of law enforcement investigating his alleged crimes? Keep doing that. Otherwise, ignore him altogether. You'll be doing the world a favor. But this week, little man Tate is everywhere, not for some galling or deranged thing he said, but because he is now charged with real crimes. So I called Rebecca to ask, who is Andrew Tate?
So Andrew Tate is an influencer in his 30s. His whole thing is telling young men how to be successful, basically. And in the process of doing so, he's deeply, deeply misogynistic. He's very proud of that fact.
I will state right now that I am absolutely sexist and I'm absolutely a misogynist because I'm a realist. And when you're a realist, you're sexist. There's no way you can be rooted in reality and not be sexist.
He shows himself smoking cigars, driving cars, surrounded by models in various degrees of undress. He has gotten really, really big on TikTok, YouTube, Twitter in the past few years, but has been banned on several of those platforms because of his extremely misogynistic comments.
What kinds of comments? What sort of things does he say that make him a misogynist?
Some of the things he said, he would brag about assaulting women if she accused him of cheating.
You're cheating. It's bang out the machete, boom in her face, and then grip her up by the neck. Like, shut up!
How he views women who are younger as more valuable because he can make an imprint on them.
The reason 18 and 19-year-olds are more attractive than 25-year-olds is because they've been through less.
Oh.
On a podcast episode once, he said that he had hit a woman and broke her jaw during a bar fight, but got away with it. And he said he moved to Romania because they're less likely to investigate charges of sexual assault.
Okay, so misogyny plus.
Yes.
How did this guy in his 30s get to where he is? These are statements that, I don't know, you might expect from a man's mouth 200 years ago.
Right.
Where did this guy come from?
So he's kind of been trying to get famous for a long time. He grew up in the UK. His dad was a professional chess player.
When you're playing chess, you take every single opportunity to exert power. That's how you win.
He was into kickboxing for a while.
Andrew Tate's arrogant, he's brash, he's bold, he's confident, but the speed of the King Cobra, venomous when he hits.
And he went on Big Brother in the UK.
Tate was a kickboxer, kicked off a UK reality TV show.
Andrew has had to leave the Big Brother house.
because of a video where he appeared to attack a woman.
But he claims that it was consensual. And from there, he and his brother founded this webcam business where he would lure women into living with him and then pressuring them to perform like online sex work, you know, where men pay to talk to you online, but he and his brother would pocket the money. And since then, he has operated this scheme where he tells young men how to, you know, become exactly like him, how to make money online, doing like scam adjacent things like drop shipping and crypto investing. He's really good at going viral on TikTok because he has all of these flashy things. He has these exotic cars, all these models. He smokes cigars and, like, you know, he looks like budget pit bull is what someone else described him as. So he's good at getting attention, but in the worst way possible.
Who does his message resonate with?
So Andrew Tate has a lot of fans, pretty much all of them male, be it adult men or teenage boys or middle school aged boys. And most of the coverage has been on his influence with that demographic. You know, there are a lot of complaints online from teachers who say that boys in their classes who listen to Andrew Tate have just completely derailed any kind of discussion of anything political, and that he's responsible for an uptick in sexist remarks and sexual harassment in schools.
The amount of young 11-year-old boys that have told me that they love Andrew Tate is ridiculous. This man is really affecting the minds of young men.
We've seen versions of this kind of guy, this kind of like manosphere type of like alpha male conspiracy theory, like everyone's out to get you, you can only like look out for yourself type of guy.
They want you to do your job well enough for them to benefit, but they don't want you to think outside of that job.
One of his main revenue sources is this thing called Hustlers University, where people pay like $50 a month to do these courses that he sells in order to, yeah, like figure out how to become rich online.
The reason I started Hustlers University is because I was arguing with someone about how pointless the modern education system is.
And so naturally, the kind of people that that attracts are, you know, people that don't have a lot of money, who are maybe young, don't know what they're doing with their lives, maybe like are in a state of, you know, transition or looking for some kind of way out of their current situation. So naturally that, you know, often aligns with like younger men.
We're talking about Andrew Tate in large part because late last month, something happened to him. And in response to what happened, he tweeted the following: the Matrix sent in their agents. What happened? What was Andrew Tate referring to?
So, yeah. So on December 29th, the Romanian police arrested him and his brother and two other suspects on charges of rape and human trafficking. They allege that they have six victims of trafficking in which, you know, him and his brother would lure these women to these certain buildings or houses in Romania and sort of like under false pretenses, right? Like sort of like love bombing them, like saying like, okay, we're in a relationship now, whatever. And then once they're there, you know, they're under constant surveillance and they're forced by threat of violence to perform the sort of online sex work or online porn, which would then be distributed with the Tate brothers, you know, making all the money. So this is obviously extremely serious stuff. And currently he's being detained for 30 days now. So end of January.
These are very serious criminal charges.
Mm-hmm.
What has he said about them beyond that cryptic tweet?
Yeah, like he keeps on just tweeting this same kind of stuff. Like, there are dark forces working against you. You must recognize them and you must fight back. So he's like kind of building this mythos that he's being witch hunted or he's some kind of a threat to this larger system where really, you know, he's a threat to these women who he's trafficking and assaulting.
2 days before he was arrested in Romania, Andrew Tate tweeted at Greta Thunberg, the climate activist. Tell me about that exchange.
So Tate tweets, "Hello at Greta Thunberg. I have 33 cars. My Bugatti has a W16 8.0 liter quad turbo. My two Ferrari 812 Competizione have 6.5 liter V12s. This is just the start. Please provide your email address so I can send a complete list of my car collection and their respective enormous emissions." And Greta responded, "Yes, please do enlighten me. Email me at smallenergy@getalife.com.
Okay, so he's trolling a teenage girl. Why did that make news?
So I believe this made news because, you know, Andrew Tate is already such a person who is good at courting attention and really riling up and angering people, as is Greta.
How dare you?
So I think when you have these two kind of bastions of both sides being, you know, uber trolls and, you know, being like, Greta's response was pretty funny. And so that just makes for a fun news article. And then obviously what happened afterwards, because right after this, you know, his arrest took place, that made it even more prescient. And so, yeah, it was huge news.
Andrew Tate has this enormous online following.
Mm-hmm.
How have social media companies responded to him?
Right. I mean, so until Twitter reinstated him, he's been banned from Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. He's not really welcome there anymore. But I think, like, the real problem with that is that most of the Andrew Tate videos, at least on TikTok and probably elsewhere as well, they're not posted by him. They're posted by people who are fans of him. And so you can't really ban one specific person from the internet in a meaningful way when, like, you know, you've already banned the user. There's not much more you can do to ban, you know, even images of that person. So I think that's kind of the fundamental conundrum of him on the internet.
How are the millions of people who find him compelling responding to the fact that he's been arrested on, again, very serious charges, not saying something offensive, not being a jerk, rape, sexual trafficking?
Right. And I think it's the same kind of mindset where, you know, if you're being told that this guy is actually, like, you know, he's misunderstood, he's not really a misogynist, he just says these things to get attention, but he's really, like, saying, you know, important stuff about the value of hard work. But it's like, if you're already able to kind of convince yourself as to, like, that's what's happening, it's easy to convince yourself that, like, you know, people are really out to get him. You know, these charges are fake. You know, like, these things aren't actually happening. It's all, they all just, like, want him gone. So they're making up these accusations.
Andrew Tate is evil because he encourages men to focus on positivity. This is the real reason why they go after him.
There is an agenda to silence guys like Andrew Tate.
Now, the Romanian government is under intense pressure from the United States and big tech to shut him down.
And so, yeah, I think people who have already bought into the Andrew Tate mindset are very willing to believe that it is actually all fake.
Last summer, you wrote a story about Andrew Tate, and the headline was, "You Can Ignore Andrew Tate." Does this arrest change your mind on whether this man is somebody we should pay attention to?
I mean, I think what the arrest has done is made it impossible to not pay attention to him, because obviously these are very serious charges. And, you know, he's a very influential person, especially if you have young boys at home who spend a lot of time online, or young girls who have to be around boys who spend a lot of time online. But beyond that, I think that whenever there's a meaningful feminist movement, as I think, like, a lot of this stuff is really just backlash to Me Too, there's going to be these people that profit off of that backlash. I mean, I don't think that we need to give this guy a ton of attention or pretend that he's some kind of genius when, you know, he's just kind of capitalizing on something that's much more prevalent in culture. Since time immemorial, you've had, like, 12-year-old boys being like, oh, like, women belong in the kitchen. And right now, the loudest voice in the room telling them that is Andrew Tate.
Coming up next, we try our hardest to figure out why Andrew Tate appeals to millions of men.
Support for Today Explained comes from Mint Mobile. Paying your monthly phone bill can be a real source of anxiety, especially if you've been making a bunch of calls to Djibouti. But it doesn't have to be, and Mint Mobile wants to help. They've got plenty of options with plans that range from 3 months to 6 months to a full year. By switching to Mint Mobile, you can get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. That includes unlimited text and talk, plus high-speed 5G data, and you can keep your same device and number. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, you can go to mintmobile.com/explained. That is mintmobile.com/explained. Once more, you can cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/explained. $45 upfront payment required. That's equivalent to $15 a month, obviously. New customers on a first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on the unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
So Support for today's episode comes from Constant Contact. Constant Contact believes the attention economy is real, and Constant Contact wants you to excel in the attention economy. If you're a business owner, a marketer, or anyone else just trying to break through the noise and reach customers, Constant Contact might be able to help. According to Constant Contact, their platform makes it easy to use email and SMS marketing to keep your message in front of your customers, reach new audiences, and communicate more effectively. They even offer a handful of writing assistance tools and automation features to help you get more from your marketing efforts. You can get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. You can go to ConstantContact.com for a free trial. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Do you know who Andrew Tate is?
Yeah, dude, I love him.
Would you be shocked if I told you you were the first pro Tate person out here all today?
Yeah, nobody likes him anymore, dude.
Andrew Tate!
Scream my boy Andrew Tate's
the best!
Scream my boy
Andrew Tate's the best! You got this, bro? Andrew Tate's the best, bro.
It's Today Explained. We are back, this time with Robert Lawson. He teaches sociolinguistics at Birmingham City University in the UK. He's got a book coming out called Language and Mediated Masculinities. Robert, when did you become aware of Andrew Tate? Do you remember when this guy crossed your radar?
So as part of my research, I'm interested in language and masculinities, particularly in media spaces. And so unfortunately, through my line of research, I have to spend time on the less enjoyable, less pleasant parts of the internet. So I kind of spend time on Manosphere subreddits, Manosphere blogs, forums, and so on, kind of trying to understand how does masculinity get kind of configured and understood in these places. And I think it was in one of those forays that Tate originally popped up, and it would have probably have just been something that was linked to a Jordan Peterson video or a Ben Shapiro video or a Steven Crowder video, this kind of what's occasionally called the intellectual dark web. YouTube's kind of algorithms put it through to my front page, and from there, what YouTube's algorithms do and a lot of other social media sites do, they start to feed you more of the same content and ideas to kind of drive engagement, drive ad views in particular. It becomes a kind of really dangerous pathway, if you like, from one form of content that might seem fairly innocuous through to potentially more extremist and more radical content. And I was sort of interested in, you know, why is this guy so popular? What is it that he's selling that people are buying? And you go on any YouTube video of them at all, and you read the comments under the video, and they're almost all universally positive, praising Tate for, you know, how insightful, how brave, how inspirational he is. And there's very few dissenting voices on those YouTube comments.
As you watch the videos of Andrew Tate and listen to Andrew Tate, talk to me about where your mind went on the question of, this man appeals to millions of people. Why? Why is that?
I think why he is so seductive to such a big audience is because the image of masculinity that he sells is one that's very rooted in traditional male kind of characteristics and behaviours, power, control. He's very big on this idea of the alpha male, the man that's in control, that always knows what he's doing, that always gets what he wants, that has everyone kind of waiting for him, hand and foot, and sort of this idea that he's infallible. I think some men can see that as a particularly kind of attractive trait. But he's also big on kind of conspicuous for consumption. He lives a very jet set lifestyle, you know, fast cars, private planes, mansions, expensive holidays away. And then he has, you know, I think, really traditional and to my mind outdated views about what a relationship should look like, what the role of men and women in those relationships should be. And so the man is not just the kind of protector, but the patriarch, the provider, but what he says goes, it's his way or the highway. Women are only there to, you know, attend to the house, to look after the kids, to really be in service of the relationship. And so I think my immediate reaction was probably one of sadness, that this is the kind of image of masculinity that sells.
What is it about the society that we're living in 2023 that makes Andrew Tate acceptable and attractive to millions of men?
So one of the sort of the best accounts that I've read as to why young men in particular find this kind of articulation of masculinity in someone like Tate advocating for it is Michael Kimmel's idea of aggrieved entitlement. And it's basically based on the idea that over the course of the last sort of 20, 30 years, the world has changed in a way that has decentered primarily young white men. And they've kind of moved from the center of society to the margins of society.
Every single society that was successful since the dawn of human time was male-led, all of them. And then the last 30 years, they've come along and saying, let's put women in charge. It's going to be good for us. Well, I don't think it will be.
And someone like Tate is attractive because he recenters young white men in a really obvious and very explicit kind of way and basically says, you're important, you're needed, your masculinity is needed to fight against all of the changes that are happening in the world. The world is no longer for you or wants to invest in you. No longer are women reliant on men financially, emotionally. And I think that someone like Tate basically says, we will fight against that. And here's how we fight against that is by reclaiming this kind of sense of primal, traditional masculinity. And that's a story that goes all the way back to, you know, even the 1980s.
Warren Farrell claims women drive men to prove themselves, so much that men have got themselves into a serious rut. And the only way out is a men's liberation movement.
A lot of what Tate is saying, in some senses, isn't actually new. It's a rearticulation of a kind of crisis of masculinity discourse that we see back in the 1970s, back in the 1980s, through the men's movement led up by people like Robert Bly and so on, where it was this sense of sort of reconnecting with your own masculinity as a way of kind of fixing the world. I think he's only another entry in a long line of other men who have done something similar.
Does your research show us anything about whether these young men who are impressed by Andrew Tate, who are seduced by Andrew Tate, are fundamentally hateful people, are fundamentally misogynists, or are they unmoored young men who are being taken for a ride by a misogynist con artist?
I think what someone like Tate does is he normalizes misogyny. I think he makes it seem socially acceptable. I think he wraps up in a discourse of rationality. This is just the way that the world is. This is just the way that people are.
I really try and base my worldviews on brutal realism. I try and be a realist, even if it's hard to be a realist.
And I don't think that we can say that the men that engage with this content are fundamentally misogynistic. It might be that through a process of repeated watchings, of engaging with his content, of posting up on forums about him or on Twitter or on YouTube comments or whatever, that they may be nudged towards these positions as misogynistic. But that's what a lot of radicalization looks like. It's taking someone from one position and gradually moving them along that path of radicalization, extremist kind of viewpoints, where those viewpoints, which initially seemed extreme, become normalized. And so I think Tate represents, you know, the kind of one strategy, if you like, of that radicalization pathway to male supremacism.
So the question then becomes, if not Andrew Tate, then what? We want to do better than this man. Where should young men be able to go if they want optimism and strength and attention to men's issues, if we can call them that, without the misogyny, without the hatred of women? Does that currently exist? And if so, where? And if it does not, where should it?
So I think first and foremost, I would say that young men shouldn't be looking at social media personalities for, you know, what it is to be a man. I think they're much better off looking within their local communities, their families, their friendship networks for emulating masculinities that they find, you know, supportive, nurturing, healthy, places for young men to meet other men that they can look up to, that they can be mentored by. I think for those young men, you know, who are really struggling with their own sense of masculinity and what it is to be a man, things like counselling can be really helpful. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with seeking those kinds of forms of support out. As far as the manosphere goes, you know, I have hopes, not high hopes, but some hopes, I think, of what a more progressive kind of manosphere might look like, one that's kind of free of the misogyny and anti-feminist kind of stance that we see in a lot of manosphere spaces. Whether that will actually come to pass is an open question, but I think Tate sells this really romanticised and, to me, quite superficial idea of what it is to be a man. I know loads of men. I don't know anybody who acts or talks or behaves like Andrew Tate. I think Tate is a Hollywood form of masculinity, but it's one that, you know, is as deep as a puddle. There's no substance. The men that I look up to, you know, people like my dad, teachers that I had in school, instructors that I had when I was in, you know, my youth groups, those are the men that have, you know, given me the biggest lessons of my life. Those are the men that I will continue to look up to and learn from. And I think that there's men out there like that, that other young men can aspire to be like and look up to and learn from and be guided by. But I don't think Andrew Tate is the one that we should be putting up on a pedestal.
Today's episode was produced by Avishai Artsy. It was edited by Amina El-Sadi and engineered by Paul Robert Mounsey. It was fact-checked by Serena Solin. I'm Noelle King. It's Today Explained.